Hello, this is Angela, your host of Springs of Zion podcast. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, and we've been talking about the wilderness. Today, we want to talk about how God's wilderness is not just a trek of rebellion or sin. No, Jesus had no sin. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. Luke 4, verse 1. Now Jesus, full of and in perfect communication with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. So I'd like to speak to your sojourner heart. We know a sojourner moves with the Spirit of God, right? And I have often said that I felt like a gypsy before I knew that the Lord was moving me, and I felt the move. And my traveling in the natural was about every 9 years. So if we look at the revelation of our life as a beautiful tapestry to God, and every thread slides through the eye of his needle with all sorts of different colored threads, and these threads impact our refinement. Can you breathe easier? Pause for a moment. Open your heart to this truth. And as you wait, a warmth of the Spirit will come over you. Let it settle into your spirit so that your spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. As I read this revelation, we know every thread is taking its place to reveal the perfect, pure picture of God's love. Let the love of Jesus wash over you at this very moment. Think about his beauty. Think about how perfect he was, how kind he was. I think they do a great job in the production of The Chosen. If you haven't watched it, watch it. Jesus is the sweetest, and it's a great depiction for our mind, because when we're first learning and understanding what the wilderness is, we have to make a decision in our heart to relinquish our will, our way, our cranial mind, so that God can come and restore our broken soul by the fire of God. This is the life of God being imparted into our spirit by God, not by someone else, not by a preacher, not by this podcast. This is God's spirit. This is allowing the Holy Spirit to live and abide in our spirit. It's really beautiful. And once you get through the wilderness, the fog of all this leaves. This is humility. Humility is what fogs us. We struggle with surrendering. Part of it is just our nature, of human nature. But the other part is we like control of our lives, which is kind of funny because it's such deception. God controls everything. He's sitting on the throne right now, isn't he? He's controlling the government, the schools. He's allowing all this because his people, just like the Israelites, just like in Exodus, have walked away from God. Multiple times we read about it in his word. So as we're going to go low, lower than ever before. We're going to go into the deep water where God calls each one of us to restore us. This is the willingness to answer the call by submitting to God's fire. It comes by humbling our inner soulish man, right? The inner man. The inner man is our spirit. We got to go low. We're coming before God to deal with our inner man rebellion, so that our spirit can rise. Our will blocks our spirit. This action brings unity from our will and soul and spirit together within our body. In the beginning of our wilderness, we tend to be pretty self-focused and consumed with our needs, and maybe even angry, frustrated, tons of anxiety. But we discover true worship is the worship of God. Not just singing about our needs or our blessings, but worshiping God, focusing on God, taking us out of our need and into God's glory fire. God's glory fire is where Jesus can be found. And this is what Jesus did for us. So I want to share my dream that occurred very early in my wilderness. And when I got this dream, I had no idea what it meant. I literally had no idea. I mean, I thought it was amazing and I wrote it down and I prayed about it. But because I didn't have the revelation of who Jesus was and what he did on the cross, within my inner man, my mind knew, but it hadn't transformed my heart. So in my dream, I was in a room standing next to Jesus. And it was a room not like any other room I had ever visited in my wilderness. There was fire all along the walls and the ceiling. And I wasn't alone here. There were many saints in this room with me. And as Yahweh God enters, I can only see his form. He's huge, literally like a skyscraper. And just as Yahweh begins to speak to the room, I feel a feather wing brush against my back shoulder. This is a new sensation for me. And I immediately know this is my guardian angel. So I have a guardian angel behind me, and I have Jesus standing next to me, and I have God in front of me. So I'm flanked, right? We begin to form a line as we're being ushered along this enormous wall of fire. When I look ahead, we're approaching a circular ring of fire, and this is in the center of the room. We all gather around it, and as I approach the fire, my lips and my hands begin to quiver, and they start heating up. I'm given a knowing that they're being transformed. I felt complete peace and safety in this place, but over my left shoulder, Satan was standing over there watching. But I really couldn't see him, but I knew he was there. Because you see, this was the beginning of my wilderness, of knowing that God and the enemy were separate. Up to this point in my wilderness, I didn't know. I couldn't tell who was speaking. I always thought it was God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. But essentially, sometimes it was the devil. And I didn't know that. But I soon discovered what it meant to have lips and hands transformed by God. His fire transforms our words and our actions to praise and worship him. And in his word, this is referred to as the renewing of our mind. Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, serve the law of God. But on the other hand, with my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I serve the law of sin. Romans 7:25. This amazing transformation of worship would soon release miracles into my life. So let's backtrack a bit, though. Before we can understand why Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, it's necessary to understand the significance of the event that immediately preceded it. That event was immediately Jesus' journey into the wilderness was his baptism by John the Baptist, at which time heaven opened. His ministry began, remember? I've talked about this. It's a significant revelation to us in Mark 1. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see, the heavens being open unto Jesus means that he right then was going to see spiritually for the first time. Until that time, though, he was born of the Spirit, like you and I. He could approach the God, our Father, through the Old Testament scriptures. But he was a man. He was just a man, right? So you see, his baptism by John fully represents what happens to us when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit. This is the ring of fire in my dream. I was being baptized by God, even though I did not have a complete understanding. God knew what he was weaving through his eye of his needle and his thread into my spirit. Sometimes we have to wait for the full revelation of things because we don't have a biblical understanding. And God imparts it into our spirit, but our mind doesn't quite accept it, or maybe our will even. But under the new covenant, every child of God has the Spirit of God. If you're born again, the Spirit of God is in your spirit. We do need to differentiate between born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. The born-again Christian can be filled with the same Spirit that he already has in him. And when he's filled with that Spirit, there's an overflowing. And sometimes this is where we see people talking in tongues or speaking in tongues. Spirit gives them utterance. And we're told this in Acts 2:4. But if it doesn't happen for you, it's not God's timing for you. So I don't want to focus on that. I want us to focus on actually sitting in the presence of God and hearing God's voice. That's the indwelling of the Spirit. And throughout my podcast, we've talked about the hindrances, that the blockages, the things that keep us from hearing from God, they're taken away in the wilderness. Jesus went from a physical human being limited by his mind and understanding to a spiritual human being. Everything Jesus does, we can do, right? He was reborn and the heavens, the spiritual realm, opened to him. This was direct access to God, his Father. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up immediately out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Mark 3:16-17. Although we have been taught the Bible and believe it, heaven doesn't open for us until we cross through the wilderness. This is a place of sweet surrender, you guys, giving Jesus everything in our life, giving him first. He becomes first. Before we do anything, we're like, okay, Jesus, do I do this? Where do I go? I mean, this is an amazing revelation. Hallelujah. Jesus becomes our beloved first, foremost, and we live the verse that John gives us in chapter 15, verse 4 through 6, that Jesus is the vine and we are his branches. We come to understand what it means to maintain a constant connection to the vine through the indwelling of his Spirit. His Spirit teaches the means to be healthy and bear fruit, even in our wilderness. However, the enemy, remember, he was standing over in the corner on my left. The left side is the dark side of our body, and the right side is the holy side of our body. The enemy wants us to be afraid of our wilderness. Just like my dream, he was observing, looking for an open gate. But when we step over that threshold and embrace this journey as something God is doing for us, not to us, we're partnering with Jesus, and he becomes our protector. I was protected in this dream. I wasn't even concerned about the enemy. I questioned it, like, why is he here? Because I didn't have a knowing. I was given a knowing who my guardian angel was. I mean, come on, you guys. How gracious is God? He's amazing. So be encouraged as you open your heart. And this can take time. Probably 20 years of my life, so don't be discouraged. But God is doing something miraculous in this time because our world has walked so far away from God. He's opening things. He's trying to lead his believers into the shelter and strength found in Jesus Christ. Everything about you was made for God. You were created to need his presence. The true longing of our heart is not fulfilled by new cars, new homes, new jeans. I mean, they make us happy, right, for a moment? But we were formed in his image, Genesis 1:26-27. When we embrace this truth, that nothing in this world, nothing, absolutely nothing, can solve our thirst, but the thirst of Jesus only is our quenching. This is when we rise above our own will. And our spirit is free to speak to God. We're in unity with him. See, I entered the wilderness unable to recognize the voice of the enemy, and I did not know how to stand against him. So the devil's ways were mixed with God's ways. And we see this a lot. these super young prophetic people get a mixture. But that's okay, because their wilderness is necessary and rewarding. Because like in my wilderness, the Lord healed me. He healed me out of an autoimmune disease that I had over 17 years. Jesus was tempted by the devil in his wilderness, but he too learned to hear his Father's voice. Each one who desires to serve God by the Spirit will go through a period of testing according to God's timetable. And you will come away cleansed, your soul will be strengthened, and your spirit will be strong and be able to hear God's voice on the other side of it. I witnessed this. I did this. It took me about 3.5 years to get through all 8 wildernesses. There are 8. And each one is amazing and different. And it's okay. We suffer the gospel just as Jesus suffered. Philippians 1:29, 3:10. Paul had a view of suffering that was radically different from what we're being taught today. He recognized that God used suffering, especially the trials and discomforts. I mean, I lived in a trailer, a travel trailer, for 3.5 years because you know what? I loved my house so much. I loved comfort, my pillow, my bed. I didn't really care about my furniture. I got rid of it all. God knew. In those 3.5 years, God did an amazing work in my heart. And that was one of my wildernesses. Peter agreed with Paul. Christians should rejoice when they suffer. And for their own suffering, they too will in a small way experience, you know, what Jesus suffered. Our suffering draws us closer to Christ. And Paul notes that suffering produces perseverance, which in turn develops our character in Jesus. Another benefit, and I use the word benefit loosely, because when we're truly suffering, you don't feel a benefit of it at all. When I was living in that travel trailer and it was a negative 18 degrees, and my son was in 6th grade, my youngest son, we used to sit on the heater for an hour every night, but that's how long it took for us to stop seeing our breath because it was so cold in there. And our breath made condensation. And my son got sick multiple times. This is suffering, and your suffering can be completely different and way harsher. But our suffering teaches us how to encourage others and how when we suffer, we develop empathy. On my blog, I put like 5 different verses, Romans, James, Peter. Type in suffering and read all the scripture out loud of suffering. Suffering stinks. But if we don't suffer, we don't actually learn what Jesus did for us. So today I want to conclude that I heard the Lord leading in a whisper. This whisper is for you to develop your skills of hearing from God for yourself. He's going to use my voice to speak personally in a deep way to your spirit. It takes practice to listen with our heart, and I've talked about this before. And as you practice listening, you're taken beyond the natural realm to pierce the second veil, causing an understanding of things that would not normally be something you could understand. So listen with your heart, for the voice of the Lord is speaking directly to you, not to your ears, but wait and listen with your heart. Pause this podcast. Ask the Holy Spirit to come as I begin to read these words. Then, out of that understanding, you'll be able to respond in a way that will cause love to well up way below in your belly, where your soul and your spirit are, and it wells up and comes up through your heart. That's the love of Jesus, you guys. You can love everyone, even your annoying neighbor or your annoying sister or somebody at work that never stops talking. Pray. Holy Spirit, let me see this person the way you see this person. I want to love this person because these are the people that need our love, right? And we want to be walking epistles of Christ. The Lord wants us to listen with our hearts. So here we go. The Lord, Yah. I always call God Yah when I talk to him because it's the Yahweh. It's short for Yahweh and it means God of power. We serve a God of power. And he's speaking to me and I'm writing this down and he asked me to share. So these are the words he had given to me. But what is given to me, if I share it, God gives me more. That's why we have to share. My eyes rest upon you, not just observing you, but protecting you in my care. Though this season has been weary and worn, reach for me now. Stop fighting your way out of the dark cave, the wilderness that has stripped you bare. Nothing or no one can satisfy the longing in your soul the way I do. Instead, come to me and thank me for what I have taught to you by leaning into my rest, and I will carry you. I come to refresh you. More than once I have come to fill you with my love. When you've stepped into my embrace, you were revived. Do you remember? My love fills every void within your spirit, body, and soul to discover a foundation in me that cannot be shaken. You have everything you need. Praise me, exalt me, for I am your strength. Claim I am your God and your Abba Father. When I consider you, my heart is stirred to act on your behalf. There is no need for worry or anxiety, for my hand is upon you. Wait for my breath to calm your buffeting waves. Let me be your guide to holy waters that stretch to a place of safety and untold favor, guarding you from the temptations that are far too great for you, all because I love you. My leading is guided by my cloud by day and fire by night to clear all misunderstandings, misconceptions, and shame. Will you take my hand? My hand opens streams within your spirit out of that rocky crag of your heart to flow down like a river to restore your soul. It's true. Once you've taken hold of my hand, I will never let you go. You will spread your wings to fly, to live like a songbird. The miracles in your wilderness will have finished the work in your heart. The things that once troubled you will then be set to music and become the theme of your song. I will give you a song at the break of day. Sing my song, O Israel, sing to me. Exodus 15, Song of Moses. I ask for a deeper kind of confidence that goes beyond this moment to ensure a lifetime of trust in me, your Heavenly Father. He gave me Psalm 63 at the end of this. God really wants us to understand how much he cares about us. Embrace it. Embrace your wilderness theme song. I hope you're encouraged today. I hope you go about your day just shining God's light wherever you go. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.